Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, November 28th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner or the words Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have called in and been stepped through the worksheet process and or they've given powerful testimonials about how the worksheet process and its active use has improved their quality of life. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app. That app contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It also contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. And it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do all of that soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives when they engage the use of these tools. It also tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please feel free to give us a call at 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, it will put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn on the microphone and announce you by your area code. Let us know how we can be of support to you. Let us know how it's resonating with you to do the way of mastery that we've been doing since January 10th. Or let us know some other topic that you would like to have us engage in. And we can have a conversation. I'm remembering that we left off with our reading in the Way of Mastery. I had just finished reading Lesson 30 the last time we were on the show together on Tuesday. And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week, I was traveling with family, so we're replay shows. And it was quite a delightful thing for me to listen again to the interview with Guy Finley and the interview with Pierre Pratervand. I realized that the version of the interview that played on Mindshifters Radio of the interview with Pierre Pratervand, because of some glitch in the software editing, I ended up editing out my intro to him reading some of his bio and a couple of the questions in the interview. And if you hadn't heard the original, I'm sure it would have flowed and been no problem. But if you want access to the whole interview with Pierre Pratervand, and which includes reading his extensive bio and some of the work he's done for a lot of years, you can go to mindshiftersacademy.org, find the little magnifying glass for the search window, and just type in the word Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, and hit enter, and it will come right up, and you can listen to that interview in its entirety, which, you know, to my eye and ear, is just a delightful thing to do from time to time, because it's a wonderful refresher course on the gentle art of blessing as a tool that you might choose to use in your life. So we have plenty of time for comments, questions, answers, and testimonials, 563-999-3581. Or if you want to raise a hand and say hello and talk about what's been happening for you, did you have family issues come up over the holiday? Did you feel the need to use the tools? How did it work for you if you did? Feel free to call us and have a conversation about that. I had our first holiday since my mother passed with my family, and that was wonderful and stirred up all kinds of emotions for people, and I'm blessed to be from a very loving family, so there's a lot less drama and trauma than many of the people that I know as friends and in my work experience as a therapist. So we were blessed, and we had a wonderful time, and hopeful that the shows that I chose to play as replays were of use to people. And as I say, I think that the Pierre Pratervand interview all by itself is a useful thing for me to listen back to from time to time. And that Guy Finley interview and his book, Relationship Magic, so closely parallels the work of Dr. Michael Rice and several of the videos that Dr. Michael Rice has for sale on his website, that I was delighted that Guy Finley would grace us with his presence back in 2019. So I will just remind us before I start reading again that we still have support groups running on Tuesday and Thursday night, most weeks, unless there's a holiday intervening. And so tomorrow night, and again on Thursday, there'll be a support group that you can access through Zoom, wherever you are, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. You're welcome to join us for all or any part of that, and or pass the information along to somebody who might be interested. All the information you need for joining that group through Zoom is available at mindshiftersacademy.org, and there's a separate page for the info to log in on Tuesday and separate page info to log in for Thursday. And since nobody has a hand up, I will remind us all as I start to read, if you have a thought come up, even if it seems like I'm reading or I'm in the middle of something, please feel free to call 563-999-3581 and press 1. And I will either turn on your microphone right away or wait until it seems to be a good flow in the material to do that. Lesson 30 is a lesson that presents a challenge. Lesson 30 is going to present to us a definition for clearly delineating a difference between making and creating. And the title of Lesson 30 is You Were Born to Create. The text reads, Beloved and holy friends, I come forth to abide with you as merely your brother and your friend. Remember always that a brother or a sister is not someone who is above you, but who is your equal. Remember always that a friend is one who has chosen deliberately to see in you the perfection of Christ and all the greatness that can be birthed through you, and to keep seeing that until you are willing to see yourself in such a light. Then that friend joins you and joins with you in holy relationship to create, to play, and to extend the capital T truth of the capital R reality, what Michael Rice would call actuality. Your true nature and the true nature and everyone and everything around you is that you and they and it is simply the extension of the creative energy manifesting in form. A lot of great different spiritual teachings say there is only God. There is only the creative energy. There is only the flow of life. And everything is a part of that. So you are a part of that. And in this first paragraph in Lesson 30, they define a friend as someone who has deliberately chosen to see your true nature and hold you in that image of your true nature until you're willing to see yourself in such a light. Right here in this first paragraph is that definition from the Aramaic for the word that was translated into English as humility. And from the ancient Aramaic, it's the concept of being able to look for and see the highest and best in another person and then choose to cooperate only with that, even if there's fear or anger or hurt. Bitterness or judgment coming out of a person, you can choose to see them as the light of creation, as the shimmering radiance of the creative energy expressing in form, as part of the Christ mind, as your equal brother and sister. And perhaps somebody who just hasn't, who has temporarily forgotten or has yet to discover their brilliance, their shimmering radiance, and you can hold that image for them until they are able to see it for themselves. So the next section of this lesson is titled The Difference Between Creating and Making. And the text reads, For you were born and created to create, not to make. What is the difference between making and creating? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Making requires the special efforts of the egoic mind. And as we're told over and over and over again, the egoic mind was born out of fear the moment any mind decided it would try to pretend to be other than it was created to be. It would try to be separate from the Creator. It would try to experience itself as someone or something that could be separate from the rest of creation. And in that moment, fear was born, and all of the thoughts from fear are what we call the egoic mind. So, you were born and created to create, not to make. The difference between creating and making is that making requires the special efforts of the egoic mind. Making involves planning what one wants based on what one already knows. And then setting about to find the way to bring it into being according to one's own ideas. Making always has an element of fear, since the ego itself is the fundamental contraction of fear. The text goes on and says, creating, in the way that I'm using these terms, is quite different. When I say that you were born to create, that you were created to create, I mean that being made in the Creator's image, your only function is to serve as a conduit through which the unfathomable mystery and beauty of capital L love can be expressed in ways that can be seen in this world. Your only function. Why are you here? What do you have to do? You need do nothing. Why are you here? Are you here to change the world? Are you here to fix the world? Are you here to heal the world? No. Your only function is to serve as a conduit through which the unfathomable mystery and beauty of love can be expressed in ways that can be seen in this world. And other places in this work, it talks about how the body, your body, the body, is a very temporary communication device. Your body is the way that you activate your role as a conduit through which the unfathomable mystery and beauty of love can be expressed in ways that can be seen in this world. The text goes on and says, an artist can do that with a brush, a singer with a song, a writer with a word, a friend with a smile, a gardener with a garden. You are in the act of extending creation whenever you surrender your own ideas of what a thing is or is for. Once you've surrendered your own ideas, then you choose only to do what you do in order to enjoy the presence of love and the offering of that love to whomever and whatever will receive it. Creation, then, is the process in which the Creator extends herself or himself from the world of the formless into the world of form. When you choose to invite friends to dinner and you have no ulterior agenda except to be with them and create a good salad and some soup for them, just because you love them and because you are in a joyful state of being, when you do any of that, you are extending the reality and presence of the Creator. Surely this is much different than when your politicians do a dinner and they invite their friends to dinner for the purpose of getting their vote. Indeed, they are involved in making. Well, your dinner is simply the flow of creation. In the flow of creation, the form itself is always recognized to be secondary. It is a mere instrumentation for content. In making, the form becomes very important. Why? Because in making, the egoic mind already believes it knows what things are and what they are for. And since all things are for the ego's safety and continuance, that's what they make of it. That's what purpose they make of it. Therefore, the form of how things are done becomes very important. For form is image and not content. In creation, the form is as you most desire it to be because it gives you joy. Not because you believe that it will coerce someone else into voting for your party. Imagine then if those of your actors and actresses who are most interested were more interested in wearing their clothing for their Oscar nominations that brought them joy, as opposed to seeing how good they could look, or what will be acceptable, or what will be breathtaking, or what will grab the attention of others. Rest assured, if they did that, many of them would show up in their pajamas. The difference between making and creating is the difference between illusion and reality. Reality is the love of the Creator. It is the love that is the Creator. It is the Creator's will to extend love. You were created out of the will of the Creator, and therefore, your will to express love is the will of the Creator. They are one and the same. The egoic mind is interested in making love. It has very set ideas of what love should look like, what form it should take, how other beings ought to respond, what actions are all right and what are not all right. But in creation, love merely extends itself with innocence. When your will is one with your Creator, you're not in the least bit interested in making love. You're only interested in celebrating the reality that you already are in, capital L, love, and you are already as the expression of that love. You are innocent, and you are perfect just as you are. The form of that expression becomes quite secondary, since it is merely a temporary instrumentation for the fulfillment of the heart's desire to celebrate the reality of being in this energy of love and extending that love. Let me then ask you this question. In your own life, do you exert energy in trying to make love happen? Or do you celebrate that you are already in the presence of love? For in the former, you must coerce other beings to join your making, and then try to persuade them of how they ought to be behaving, performing, accepting, and receiving, so that you feel you have succeeded in manifesting what you have already determined in the mind. Making love requires others. Creating love, that is, extending love, requires nothing but your willingness, your will. This means that you are perfectly free, and you do not require and you do not need the world to show up in any certain form before you decide to be in the flow of love. When you are in love, love will guide the expression of form. That is truly how simple it is. You will know right away if a smile is enough, whether to another human being or to a leaf on the tree. You will know if you are with another exactly how to express it. There will not be a question. There will not be a doubt. There will be no interference of the egoic mind. There will be no fear. For when the mind is truly in the will of the Creator, there is no time. Since there is no time, there is no reference to the past and no reference to the future. For these things abide in the duality of time. They are not part of what alone is eternal. That the fact that the past has passed away and the fact that the future is at best a fantasy in the mind leaves you with the knowledge that the present is where creation abides. The next section is titled, Abiding as Love in Each Present Moment. The peace of Christ, then, depends on your willingness to abide in the present for no other reason than to extend creation. To be one who receives love, capital L love, acknowledges the presence of love, breathes that love, and then allows it to flow through the body-mind, through the voice, through the handwritten word, through the wink of an eye, whatever it is. And then you are done with it, and you're on to the next moment. The peace of Christ comes only to that mind that withdraws valuation from the past and the future and surrenders into the present. For only in the present can love be felt, known, and extended. Such a mind is a creator. And through that mind, the perfection of love's extension flows without impediment, without obstacle, and without mistake. The mind, then, that is free from the egoic need to make, to control, and to shape, that mind is free from identification with the past and free from anxiety over the future as it abides in the perfectly eternal now. It abides there for no other reason than to receive the awareness that it abides in love's perfect presence and then allows that mysterious reality through that mind right where it is, as it is. I am going to allow love's perfect presence to flow through my mind now. It does not need to make a show. This is not about having a prescribed set of activities to do. You are merely present in the moment, and love lives you. Holy relationship, then, is where any two beings choose to come together, and each of them individually chooses to be in the presence of love. Then, whatever happens, happens. Perhaps one will sit in a chair and read a book while another one watches a movie. Perhaps they will come together and create a beautiful dinner. It really becomes quite irrelevant because they will be moved by the mysterious energy of love itself, which is the will of the Creator creating experience through its creations. And when that moment is gone, it's gone. The mind of each of them simply finds itself in a new, present moment. You know, this is so hard for us to do. This is so antithetical to what we've been trained to do in the Western mind. It's one of the things that was coming up listening to the interview with Guy Finley, the idea that if we're trying to be right, if we're invested in being right, knowing we're right, proving we're right, proving that somebody else is wrong, we're not in the flow. And we're not open to being taught. We're not asking to be informed about ourselves and about the situation. He talks so clearly at different points in that book, Relationship Magic, about the mess we get into when we get spinning in our thoughts and thinking that we have to act a certain way and somebody else has to act a certain way. And so if you read Lesson 30, the one we're reading right now, and then you go back and you listen to the Guy Finley lecture about all of the different traps for getting stuck in reality and thinking someone or something outside of me is creating my upset, etc., or that I have to get them to act in a certain way in order for me to feel good or happy or loved or respected, etc., I think you'll see the interweaving of these core principles. The text in Lesson 30 goes on, and it asks in the next section, are you making or creating? Now, this next sentence, I know I hit this before when I read it, but this next sentence talks about something that is essential in the way of knowing. And what the person that channeled this work and the darshans he did for years afterwards, what he keeps calling us to is that when you read a work like this, if you're finding value in it, and please question it for yourself and see which parts fit for you and see what meaning you give it the first time you read it and notice it, how that meaning might change if you read it 3, 4, 5 times more. And pay attention to the words which have been written or spoken with such focus and intention, especially when they say this is essential or this must happen or this will happen if you do this or that. So here's one of those. The difference between making and creating is essential in the way of knowing. So here we are in the third book of this series. There's the Way of the Heart, the Way of Transformation, and the Way of Knowing. And it's called the Christ Mind Pathway. It's a way to birth in you an awareness that you have access to a higher level of wisdom and extending love and being a conduit for the creative force. And the third and final book in this work is called The Way of Knowing. So we're reading in The Way of Knowing, and here it says, here is something that is essential in the way of knowing. Being able to define and then identify for yourself when you're in one mode versus another, to find the difference between making and creating, and be able to identify within yourself when you're in the making mode versus in the creating mode. So the text reads, the difference between making and creating is essential in the way of knowing. Therefore, I want to invite you in this lesson's message to begin to look at your own life. Begin to cultivate in your own life an awareness of when you're doing one versus the other. The text reads, where are you resting in knowing and allowing creation to flow through you in each present moment? And where does your mind become absorbed in what you think you must make occur? come to discern the difference between the two. And notice, here's a key phrase, notice the quality of feeling, not your thoughts about it, but how it feels in the body-mind energy system. Notice the quality of feeling that is within you when you are in each of these two states. Notice how it feels when you're trying to make something happen, when you are so concerned about the form that you miss the flow of the content of the loving energy of creation expressing through you. The text goes on and says, if you are diligent, you will come to see that whenever you are in the middle of making love, making life conform to what you think it ought to be, you are in suffering. And when you are creating, you are enjoying the miracle of creation itself. For you are in a very unique position. You are both that one, capital O, one, through whom creation flows, and you are also the witness of or the observer of the act of creation flowing from the mind and heart of that creative center that I have called Abba, who is but love itself. So this is critical two paragraphs. You want to know what's essential? Something that's absolutely essential to the way of knowing? Knowing, being able to determine the difference between making and creating. This is essential in the way of knowing. So we're invited to start cultivating within ourselves the awareness of when we're in one mode or another. And beyond that, to cultivate within ourselves the awareness of the feeling state. Notice the quality of feeling that is within you when you're in the making mode and the quality of feeling that is within you when you're in the creation mode. And it says, if you are diligent, you will come to see that whenever you are in the mode of making love, making life conform to what you think it ought to be, you are in suffering. And when you're in the mode of creating, when you are enjoying the miracle of creation itself, you will be in enjoyment. You will be in bliss. You will be in flow. For you are in a very unique position. You are both the one, capital O, one, the one, through whom creation flows, and you are also the witness of, the observer of, this act of creation that's flowing forth from the mind and heart of the creative center. We call it God, we call it Abba, we call it love, we call it all there is. And we get to be an instrument for it flowing through us, and we get to observe it. The text goes on and says, celebrate then and embrace the uniqueness of yourself as the offspring of creation. You are one who gets to experience love, create love, and also observe and witness the flow of love. If you do not understand that this is miraculous, then we strongly recommend that you put the book down and spend as much time as you need to alone, without words, without mantras, without prayer, just alone, until, and not even moving a muscle, until you understand this is miraculous, that you get to both extend and observe the flow of creation. The text goes on and says, for that is the truth, capital T truth, of your reality, your actuality. It is timeless and eternal, and it far transcends the boundaries of the physical body and the boundaries of your ideas about your physical self, your personality, your personal history, your children, your mates. It transcends everything, including your bank accounts. It far transcends everything that is temporarily arising in the field of form. And this book tells us over and over again, everything that begins in time ends in time. Everything that comes into form dissolves from form. The text goes on and says, as the Holy Son of offspring of creation, as that created spirit birthed to create, your ability to be aware of the flow of love is unborn and undying. You will never lose it. As the holy offspring of creation, the power of your ability, the power of your beingness to allow love to flow through you, this power is unlimited forever. And it will never be taken away. As the holy offspring of creation, your capacity to enjoy the very act of being the one through whom love is extended, this is without equal in all of creation. And it, too, is never taken away from you. Those aspects are really one thing, these three aspects. They are the truth of who you are. Anytime your mind has fallen under the power of the egoic mind, which is just to choose wrongly and insanely for a moment, the reality of your being never goes away. It is never changed or altered in any way. All that has occurred is that you have used time and this power of creation to create a hallucination, an illusion, a dream of separation, and you lose awareness of the capital T truth in that moment. And in the next moment, you're free to choose again. The healed mind is one that accepts its true knowingness. And one way to talk about that true knowingness is as follows, quote, I and my Creator are one. Only love is real. I cannot possibly be a victim of what I see, since what I see is what I choose to see. And if I choose to see with the eyes of love, all I see is perfect innocence and the will of my Creator clearly at work. Close quotes. The text goes on and says, the healed mind is simply one that rests in that simple reality. It has merely trained itself to always choose the voice for love. It does not matter what arises and what passes away. The healed mind is not a mind that can make whatever it wants to happen, happen. That is the egoic attempt to become absolutely powerful. The meek of heart, the pure of heart, these people realize that making is the illusion and that being is the reality, the actuality. So the choice is yours. Making or doing something frantically or creating, being the presence of love. And when you create as the presence of love, out of which creative contexts emerge because it is the will of the Creator to extend his or herself through a myriad of forms that will arise and pass away. The forms change, but the content or the essence does not. The awakened mind is awakened to the ever-present flow of content, pervading all form at all time. This is why for the awakened mind, loss is not possible and death is seen as unreal. For death can pertain only to form. Forms begin in time and end in time, such as the body. Now that is a form you're clearly aware of. Ideas also have a beginning and an end. Love is the only thing that knows neither beginning nor end, being the fundamental energy of creation itself. The healed mind does not plan. Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that it does not structure a day. That is, make decisions whether it is going to make this phone call now or that one later. But it does not plan what the day shall be for, what it shall stand for, what it shall mean, what its purpose is. That mind, the healed mind, merely surrenders unto love and allows love to birth the day. Hopefully you can see that difference. The egoic mind arises in the morning already believing that it knows what this day is for, and that this day can have no purpose but the sustaining of the authority of the ego and trying again to make the world conform to what the egoic mind believes must be so. The awakened mind knows that this day has no purpose except that which the Creator would give to it through the Christ mind, through the capital S self. So it seeks first the kingdom, and then all things are added unto it. The day flows, and it flows out of that mind's surrender to love. The healed mind, the truly healed mind, is one who is like the wind. When you look upon the wind, you cannot tell where it is coming from, and you do not know where it is going. It is not a logical thing. Control it. You see its effects. You can try to measure it. You might even try to predict it. But it will always leave you guessing. A healed mind is not interested in making. Its only interest is the delight and joy of creating. It merely shows up where it is asked to be. It no more laments or complains if it's asked to work 23 hours a day at bringing forth some creation that extends the presence and the love of creation. It merely does what is asked. The healed mind is no longer attached to the world's definitions of success or failure. For those pertain to the realm of making. The healed mind is no longer attached to what others think of its creation, for it trusts the mystery that has birthed it and that operates through it in each moment. Indeed, beloved friends, consider well, are you devoted to making or creating? And this is a big challenge for us, especially in the Western world, especially those of us who've been conditioned to believe that there are certain definitions for success that we need to live up to. And again, this is a pathway that keeps moving to more and more depth and intensity. And so we are asked to continually question, where are we in the path? Where are we in the process? To observe directly, what are we doing and not doing? The next section is titled, Exercises to Observe your choices and choose again. The text reads, by way of a simple exercise in this very moment, how are you approaching hearing this lesson? Did you remember to begin it, as we have suggested many times, as one who knows that they are already Christ and that they are merely sitting down to abide with a brother and a friend who is their equal and who sees the truth of them? Did you remember to open the heart and trust that what emerges in the form of your experience as you hear these words is exactly what is perfect for you in this moment? Or did you sit down determined to make yourself be like Yeshua by memorizing the words, by getting the concept? Big difference. Big, big difference. The text goes on and says, the relaxed mind absorbs all knowledge. The making mind misses all knowledge. The relaxed and healed mind is like a sponge that is constantly learning and being shaped by what it learns. The making mind has no room in it to receive anything new because it has already decided what the truth is, what it should look like, and what it should sound like. The making mind misses the moment in which it can observe and be the conduit for, as well as the one who is creating an experience of love. In this moment, then, are you quite free to open the heart and relax the mind and to realize you are present with a brother and together we are in the field of love? You're free to do that. All that arises, arises in mystery and returns to its source. If you can enter into such a field of mind, capital M mind, in this very moment, then you are free. And you are indeed one who knows. If you can join with me in such a mind, capital M mind, in this very moment, then you can prove to yourself how infinitely powerful you are. What you can apply to this moment can be applied to all moments. Likewise, if your mind is currently insisting that you cannot be that one in this moment, then you're doing the very same thing. You're simply using the power of creation to create the illusion that you're separate and that you're less than. You are using the infinite power of the mind to choose to remain as a maker and therefore to reside in suffering. Either way, you remain quite right. Either way, you are expressing your infinite and perfect freedom. That is the freedom to create or to make. That is the freedom to be in love or to be in fear. That is the freedom to abide in peace or to abide in anxiety. Now it's suggested that you ask within yourself, quote, would I choose to experience what is unending as myself, as a creator, or as a maker, close quotes. If you choose the path of the creator, then the first thing you need to do is to remember that creating is not the same as making. Creating involves seeking first the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Well, it means that you have to sell all that you own, get a backpack, buy a ticket to Kathmandu, and spend 17 years hiking through the Himalayan mountains until you find just the right cave, and then another 17 years of astute meditation and prayer before you begin to get your first glimpse of God. That is what seeking the kingdom involves. Or you can simply turn the mind to the peace of the Creator right where you are and accept it right where you are in this present moment. And in that moment, you will have gained what all the yogis in all their caves have ever gained, what all of the Buddhas and Christs have achieved in their austerities. The kingdom is but a choice away. You might stay right where you are and say, quote, I choose now for the perfect peace of creation, close quotes. And just like that, you've achieved all that needs to be achieved, if you will receive it. To create means that you are committed to seeking first the kingdom of heaven, and then allowing yourself to celebrate that, regardless of what your physical eyes show you, regardless of how the brain mind is interpreting or creating perception of what the physical eyes reveal to it. Regardless of all of that, you are free. For whatever is arising is perfectly harmless. Forms come and go. Love remains. Where else can you possibly find freedom except as one who is merely abiding as the decision for love? If you would be a creator, you will need to give up striving, for striving is part of the world of making. And you will need to give yourself permission to cultivate a mastery of allowing. Allowing is not passivity. Allowing is not sitting on your pillow waiting for the universe to manifest good things in your life. Allowing is an act of turning within, appreciating your oneness with all of creation, and simply asking, Creator, what would you like to create in this moment? And then suddenly a thought comes. That thought might reveal you driving your car 35 miles to see a friend and inviting them to dinner. Well then, get on with it. Driving your car for 35 miles is an act that takes energy. It is not passive as an act at all. Allowing is a very powerful state of being, for allowing does not resist anything in the field of action. Anything. And if you are asked to create a retreat center in the northern area of New Mexico, well, you simply get on with it. Even though you have no idea how it is going to come to pass, you merely make yourself available and you show up. So, that's our reading for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll have a support group tomorrow. We'll have time for questions and comments before we start our reading tomorrow. Please remember that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form, and everything else is false. Hopefully, here is Jeannie Rice. Welcome for the second hour.
I hope
hour.
You had a good holiday.
We did. I hope the same for you,
good.
And I hope you have a lovely
we
show.
Did. Thank you.
Bless.
Talk to you later. Blessings. So welcome to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Monday, November the 28th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael just a minute to get dialed in. And I'll say I hope everybody had an awesome Thanksgiving and full of blessings. And if you want to share any of it, press 1. Or if you have any questions or comments for us, press 1. In the meantime, excuse me for being out of breath. I was downstairs with Aria and realized it was time to start and came flying up 2 flights of steps. So I'm a little bit out of breath. But anyway, we had a really good Thanksgiving. And on Sunday, Michael and I decided kind of at a last minute that we were going to go to what they call the Creeper Trail here. It's where they used to have a train that's kind of creeped along going up to the top of the mountain. And so now they've taken up all the railroad track, and it's just gravel or hard surface. And they ride you up to the top in a van with the bikes on the trailer in the back. And when they get you to the top, then you have your helmet and your bike, and you ride down 17 miles. And like I said, it was kind of last minute us deciding to go. And we were a little after 2 getting to the top of the mountain. And they told us, they said, you don't have lights on your bike, so you need to be back down at the shop by 5 o'clock. And so Michael and I booked it for 17 miles. And we got back down there about 4 o'clock. I think that was a record for us, about an hour and 45 minutes to go 17 miles. So we definitely got our exercise. And I see Michael's on, so I'm going to say welcome, Michael, and I'm going to answer this little girl's questions here. Thanks.
Thank you, dear heart. Yes, we had an awesome ride. It's about a 17-mile run down the mountain. Fortunately, most of it is gravity-fed, so it wasn't a lot of work, but it was a beautiful day for a ride. So welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here once again to entertain this conversation about living a whole life as a true human being, knowing our place on the earth, our connectedness with all of life, and undoing the blocks that sometimes keep that connectedness hidden. This morning, one of the things Jeannie and I have done, we have registered for a soil building course, how to turn soil into a sponge so that it stores carbon and holds water and just becomes a lot more efficient in maintaining our environment and keeping our rain structures going. It's just an interesting holistic overview of life from another perspective as we're working with gardens and soil and human life. So delighted that you're here. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room at this moment?
No, not at the moment. Nobody has a hand up. And so if somebody presses 1, we'll put you in line before we go to our next emotion. Oh, I did have a comment from someone who we had answered before, and they wrote and said, hang on half a second. You're breathing about like I was. I said, I ran up the steps. But where is it? Okay, they said, I could not work with the worksheet. And that's all they said. So I wrote them back and I said, why not? But they haven't answered me yet. So I don't know if there's any way you can answer. Sounds like possibly there's some resistance.
No, nobody would ever have resistance to worksheets, honey. I think we'd need a little more information than what we'd be given to understand where we're going with that. I mean,
right.
I think the structure of the worksheet is a pretty simple, straightforward fill in the blanks. You know, what's your name? You put your name in it. And who are you? Acknowledge yourself as love. What are you feeling? You know, start to look at the situation that your mind is telling you elicits the feeling, and then start to work inward to look at what's really creating the feelings, the disturbances, the upsets, and recognize that they're within. And then the structure of the worksheet takes you through, you know, laying out the object of attention of the situation. And then starting to transition out of that projection, that construct in your mind, into recognizing on a deeper level that your mind is producing what it's producing because of the content that's there. And it's interesting how much of our culture is built around resisting and stopping the flow of information within us. you know, I mean, right down to something as simple as, I challenge you to go into a restaurant in your hometown, sit down and order a sandwich that is served on actual bread. Not the white marshmallow stuff that they call bread that's totally, completely fake and has virtually no zero, just zero food value, but actual bread, actual, you know, grains grown in soil, not dirt. You can't get food out of dirt. It's not possible to get actual food out of dirt. Because dirt is dead. What one needs is soil. So where can you find someone who will serve you a sandwich with bread that is milled from flour grown on actual soil, not poison, but actual soil with life in it? You know, the difference between dirt and soil is one is totally dead, the other has life in it. It's alive. It's kind of hard to get life from death. And yet, most of our food supply comes from dead dirt. When you get down to it, what you realize is that that's a way of inhibiting the movement of life and the movement of information through your own structure. And then you look at all the distraction, the bread and circuses of the culture. You know, the Romans really figured out how to empty people's pockets. You gave them bread and circuses. You filled their bellies, especially with things that were drug-oriented. We're much better at that than the Romans were, with our sugar and our caffeine and our nicotine and all the garbage that's put into the products that people put in their bodies. But most of that is set on restricting the movement of energy through the individual energy system, through our individual minds and bodies. And so it's actually an article I'm working on entitled Healing from the Ground Up, and that you have to start with the soil and the food that you grow in the soil and the things that you put into your body, the things that you put into your mind. And that tool of forgiveness is about collapsing the brainwash that the mind replicates about how, you know, I'm perfectly fine, every problem is out there, to collapsing and starting to look inside. And so it's the most profound tool I know of for uncovering content in the mind that perhaps people have hidden from themselves for generations. And so, as Jeannie said, I suspect that question comes from a place of resistance because, again, it's pretty straightforward. We've got the situation. Then we're going to make a commitment to go through moving through whatever comes up in us as we do this healing work. And then based on the fact that we know that from research that was done at Harvard University, where they determined that in a time frame where there are 10,000 measurable units of electrical activity happening in the mind, the max amount of data that goes into conscious awareness is 9 bits. Each construct of our mind, when I say, look at how Harry made me so angry, I'm looking at a little tiny bit of information, 9 bits of data, while I'm hiding, you know, almost 10,000 under the surface, 10,000 brain cell firings under the surface, recognizing that when you realize there's this tiny bit of information that comes to conscious awareness out of what's moving within the mind, and that's a minuscule amount of what's the energetic patterns that are moving in the actual world, you recognize that something determines which 9 bits of data your mind shows you continuously. And most everybody's got a story. You know, back in the early days at Heartland, we had a music director who wrote a song called Stuck in My Story, My Pain and My Glory. So the objective of the worksheet is to recognize that the thing that drives the perceptual constructs of our minds is our goals. So you locate in the situation that you've identified in number one, you locate the goal that you have for whoever is your object of attention. So if I'm looking at Harry, and Harry was supposed to keep his appointment with me at 2 o'clock, and he never showed up, and I sat there twiddling my thumbs, and I'm really angry at Harry. Well, no, you're not angry at Harry, but you've got anger, and you can put it into your brain's image of Harry. And if you want to collapse that projection, if you want to collapse that false story that somebody else is responsible for what's going on inside of you, then in the presence of active love, you cancel that goal, the core step in the worksheet process. And you do that because perception is driven by the goals that we hold. You'll notice that unless you're just a generally miserable person, that you're pretty happy with most everybody and everything that goes on, as long as everybody's fulfilling all the goals you have for them. I notice that there's only upset and disturbance when you have someone who isn't fulfilling a goal that you hold for them. The reason the goal is key, because the goal determines which data the mind uses out of trillions of bits of data potentially available within. Goals determine which data is used by the mind to produce your current perception. And if your current perception is based in pain, then by canceling the goal, you get to collapse that perception. And in collapsing it, you get to look at the deeper part, the deeper hidden part of your own mind. And then you realize there's process work to be done. And when you start thinking about, we have this, you know, metaphorically, I'm not being absolutely literal, but I refer to it as the 9-bit mind. You've got the 9-bit mind to work things through with. But when you realize there are trillions of bits of data going on under the surface, what's going on at the surface? How do you change what's going on at the surface? Where do you get the processing power to do that? So once you've canceled the goal, then you invite that power that is within you, the super processor, to support you moving through those energetic patterns. And what most people find is there's a pretty dramatic shift in perception. Pretty dramatic shift in the output of the mind. And you start to see the hidden parts of your own process. People get in touch with what's going on under the surface. Now, if one doesn't want to get in touch with what's going on under the surface, then, of course, don't bother with the worksheets. But if you really want to touch into what's under the surface, and the simplest perception, the monumental amount of data moving within is beyond comprehension. And we allow ourselves to go in and start to clean literally the content of our mind of its hostility and fear, then the mind starts to move in a direction of supporting us staying connected to love. Now, I have to look at everything in my life that restricts me from experiencing myself and the people around me as love. I have to do that work, and you have to do yours. Now, there are many different approaches, many different ways of doing that. We're just offering this as one tool, one way to start to enter into your own unconscious dynamics and clean it up. And, of course, cosmic grace is helpful, and willingness is what we call the cosmic grace. Am I willing to embrace these energetic dynamics that are going on within myself? Am I willing to clean up the parts of my mind that hold content based in hostility or fear. So that would be my invitation. And if you happen to be on the air listening, then please push one and let's be more specific with your question. You haven't given us too much to work with, but there's a basic outline. Hope that's helpful. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you. Miss Jeannie, do you have any thoughts to add to that for our questioner?
No, I think that's pretty good. And we still don't have a hand up, so I would say go for your emotion.
Well, actually, I didn't set up. I didn't
Do
an emotional piece for today, so we're not going to drop into that one today.
Hey, we got a hand up.
Well, let's say hello.
Area code 602, you are on the air. Who do we have?
This is Tracy in Crump.
Well, hi there, young lady. Glad to hear you got on.
Yeah, I was.
How are you? It's been a long time.
I've been working and haven't been able to, and then I can't get to Dr. Andracki's class on Friday night, so I've been doing it on my own, kind of working through some things, and I've hit a brick wall. I've been in a relationship, and it's been, for me, it's been an awesome relationship. It's far from my family and my past and all of that. So with the work that I've done, I've seen the accomplishment I have. But the man that I'm with right now has a lot of issues in his own life that he needs to work through on his own. And it's family stuff and it's child stuff. And I see it and I can't really help him fix him. He's got to do the work himself. But where I'm stuck is I don't know what I need to work on. I have a lot of autoimmune system. I have lupus, Sjogren's, Crest. I have a lot of autoimmune. And the relationship has been really, really good up until about a month ago. He's going back and forth. He was married 17 years, divorced. He's been divorced for about a year. And he's been going back and forth with his emotion for me as far as making this go forward. And at one point he told me, we're going to work on this, and I really want you in my life, and I want this to be a relationship. And then about a month ago, he hit me with, I'm talking to some other girl. And then that didn't work out, but I got really sick. And I'm still fighting the lupus part of it. And I've been trying to figure out what I need to work on for me to get myself back into that self-love. I still have it, but there's something missing, and I don't know how to fix it. And I know if I can fix that, then I can fix my health as well. So I've been working on some things. I thought it was my dad, and I have a really hard time working on my dad. I'm just not sure what I've been researching and looking inside myself, and I can't find what it is I'm missing. Like what part of this can I fix for myself? And I guess that's why I called in today too, is because I've been working on it and I can't figure it out. I can't find what I'm missing or what I need to look at inside myself to fix myself.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounds like you're ready for the next layer of your healing process. That's awesome. First of all, I guess you don't know this, but the Friday night class isn't going on any longer in Frump. And Dr. Andracki is actually in New Zealand working.
Oh, no, he's back.
He went down. Is he back? Oh, I didn't realize he was back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I haven't talked to him recently.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank God he came back because I needed his help with my lupus.
Oh, awesome. So has he started up the Friday night class again?
That I don't know. I don't see him until December 2nd. I'll find
him. Okay. We'll have to give him a call and say hello. I haven't talked to him for probably about 3 months, so I had lost track. I didn't realize he was back already.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. So one of the things we get into in our codependence to interdependence work is the fact that there are several what we call pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind, things that our mind tell us, oh, this will get me through that, through what it is that I need to get through. And the number one pseudo-solution of the non-being mind is, if I could just figure this out. And my offering is, there is such a complex and deep-rooted flow of information and creative process in one individual's life that having room for that to fit in this 9-bit mind, you know, conscious awareness, is virtually impossible. So I'd support you letting go of the need to figure it out and then take situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance. Like, for instance, it sounds like what life is serving you at this moment is the opportunity to look at relationship dynamics. And let's say it sounds like there's been some hope that there's a real relationship developing here, and then perhaps some disappointment that he's off in conversations with other women. So that would look like starting to do some worksheets where he might be your object of attention. And what are the goals you have for him? You know, the goals might look like, gee, I want him to give me more attention. I want him to be exclusive with me. Whatever the variety of goals might be. And starting to work in that arena would open some space for seeing life differently. And I suspect as you go through those worksheets, then they would sort of naturally shift into doing some worksheets on self. You know, one of the earliest messages that most of us get that breaks us from our connection to love in the beginning are messages about being broken. You know, that there's something wrong with us, and I suspect that probably goes back to, as you mentioned, some issues with Dad. And so rather than trying to take on the whole ball of wax, now I'm going to fix my health, my offering would be one by one, start working on these different arenas where you can identify a specific goal. You know, maybe I think about Dad. Is Dad still alive?
Yes, but there has not been very much communication with since I moved out of their house, and it's been a really good positive thing for me to do that.
Right. So that might be, there might be some worksheets around goals to have some kind of communication or relationship with Dad. Like, why isn't it there? What's going on? What happened within the household that I left? Is there anything that I haven't worked through in that regard, in regard to relationship with Mom and Dad? And to start to look in that arena as well. And that will probably, you know, cycle right back into your relationships with men. You know, usually for men, it's relationship with Mom oftentimes is reflected in spousal or, you know, significant relationships. And for women, it's relationship with Dad. So I just start looking at all of the arenas where I haven't touched into the core of those issues and start moving through them.
The reason that I'm having the bad feelings towards my dad right now, it has to do with when I was living with him, he would say a lot of things very nasty about me. I'm a lot. I'm a cheat. I'm a sneak. I'm a thief. And those are all things that are not true about me. And I know they're not true, but he would say them all the time. And so is that what I'm bringing into this relationship because he's pushing me away?
Well, you know, I can't say precisely. Again, figuring it out isn't the idea, but to look at potential areas where there's some forgiveness work to be done will tend to open those spaces. And,
okay,
you know, if Dad's giving you those messages now as an adult, what were the messages he was giving you as a child? And how does that reflect in how you see yourself as a woman, as a partner in a relationship, and what value you have? So, you know, looking at your own self-value might be another approach to start to open some of the unconscious dynamics that are reflecting in your current relationships.
And is the worksheet going to help me do that?
That's exactly what it's designed for, yes.
Okay.
And what I suggest doing, you know, when I do a worksheet, I usually have a sheet of about a dozen blank sheets.
Uh-huh.
And I start doing a worksheet on a given issue today. And when you do it in writing, the tendency is to pay a lot closer attention to the subtle thoughts that otherwise just kind of slide past and we can ignore them. We've set up the habit of ignoring them because they're not fun to look at. But mm-hmm. if you do the worksheet in writing and you've got blanks there, you'll oftentimes, like for me personally, most times when I would do a worksheet, I would end up with three or four other worksheets that grew out of that, that were related,
right,
things I hadn't, you know, allowed myself to be in touch with. So I'm going to let myself get into a quiet place as I do this. And when I cancel this goal, I'm really going to pay attention to every thought that moves through my mind. And if I realize that, you know, this goal that I had for Dad was, gee, you know, the same goal that I had in that early relationship when I was a teenager with that boy that I had such a shine on and then had my hopes dashed, you know, those are the kinds of energetic dynamics that tend to carry out in relationship over and over and over again. You know, when we realize that we're creators, we create by what we hold literally in the way of energetic dynamics in our minds. And if I hold, you know, if Dad gave me early messages of, you know, anything similar to what you just shared that he's doing now, that there's something wrong with me, then, you know, I better work through the belief, you know, oftentimes a parent is like a god to us, and there's a stage where we just absorb everything in from that power person that they have to tell us and believe it. And when we hold beliefs, you know, as you say, well, no, that's not true about me, but is there some part of you that still has an attachment to that with Dad? And if so, then literally, you know, if I hold an energy in me that says, well, you know, I always attract relationships that are wonderful at first and then they just kind of fall apart.
Right.
Well, literally with that kind of thought in me, until I access that thought and remove it, forgive it from my structure, I'm literally sending up a high energy wave, an actual measurable physics wave that is kind of selecting, going through everybody that could possibly come into a relationship with me, and literally sending out that signal that says, well, what I need is somebody who will really be attracted to me. It'll be wonderful at first, and then it will fall apart and die. And I'll tend to pull somebody in that has the capacity to play that out with me. Now, when that happens, and, you know, when you mention this fellow, you know, he's really wanting to do relationship with you and such, and then all of a sudden he's talking to someone else, the other half of the equation is, and we call this relationships based in matching bags of garbage, is we'll always draw somebody in who has the matching issue to mine. And each of us will have the opportunity to learn forgiveness through our interaction. And if, you know, that relationship dynamic he comes in with, oh, I'm supposed to be here for a while and then disappear, his issue of leaving is going to be what he's going to get to look at and work through. So it might be a space to invite him into, or, you know, introduce him to the forgiveness process and invite him to maybe, you know, gee, I've got an issue that I'm really working on, and, you know, it relates to you or relates to my dad. Would you just sit and hold the space while I work through this and give him an introduction to the tools? And as he watches you in your process, he will likely, if there's any willingness, tend to see his matching bag of garbage and start to go, oh, I see how we fit together here. I see what this is. And so I'm going to do my part of the forgiveness or the healing process as you do yours. And then yesterday would be called the relationship from hell, matching bags of garbage, literally becomes what we might call the relationship from heaven, because it's not always Dr. Feelgood, but both parties recognizing that these dynamics that come up are things that need to be worked through. And when we're there as support for each other, it just creates a whole different level of aliveness and satisfaction in relationship. Does that make sense?
You're
still with us, Tracy? Oh, okay, you're back.
Okay. yeah, what you just said is like right on the money. We do have very similar backgrounds and very similar situations with our parents. His is a little different, but the same kind of. So if I sit down and like work through this kind of with him, you think that's going to help him look at his own self and what he's going through?
Well, it tends to rub off, is my finding. Yes.
Okay.
And not always. Somebody might go into just huge resistance, like, man, you're bringing up so much crap in me, I don't ever want to talk to you again. That's also the other side of the coin. And those waves of energy of, oh, I've got to leave, tend to come in layers. And, you know, when you look at autoimmune, you know, basically autoimmune is self-attack. My own immune system is attacking me. And so, you know, that I would offer that very likely goes back to some of those power person messages, mom and or dad.
Mm-hmm.
And those self messages of I'm broken, there's something wrong with me, I deserve to be punished, I deserve to hurt, or, you know, whatever the dynamics are, as you allow each of those things through the forgiveness process to come to the surface and you remove them, you disappear the offensive energy in your own tissue structure that creates that attack.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You just opened up a lot of things in my head. And one of my biggest things is security, and so which talking to you right now, it's my security as well, because thank you. You've given me a direction to go in and work on some of these things now going through my head. I'm really glad I checked in today, because I've been fighting for a little bit, and you just kind of opened up some things that I now know what to work on in my worksheet. So I appreciate that very much. Very
awesome.
Much.
And we're here every day for support as questions come up, as support is needed. When those deeper layers, you know, sometimes when those layers come up, they can be pretty intense and pretty painful. And so
Right. Standing
in that space of willingness, you know, looking at things, you know, when I opened the show, I talked about, you know, healing from the ground up and looking right from our nutrition, the way we eat, to the way we live in every way, shape, and form is important to becoming vital enough to access. You know, the culture tends to set us up for weakening, 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 so we don't have to feel and deal with these things. This work is about strengthening, 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 so we can feel and deal with those things, even though it's not pleasant to work through. So,
okay.
Go for it. And,
yeah,
you know, if you really...
I was just going to repeat myself that you've got my mind going in different directions on what to work on now. And I, like I said, I thought I was working on them, but talking with you, it's almost like a clearing or something coming in my head telling me different things of what's going on. So
opening the space. Good. And that's awesome. If you're really ready to take it all to the next level, you know, one of the things that we have is a self-study course, and it's oriented toward relationship. It looks at power person dynamics with, you know, which is usually mom or dad, and then mm-hmm. the codependent dynamic in relationships. And we do have a 90-hour video self-study course if you want to take it to the next level, and it gives you a structure. You know, we introduce the forgiveness process. We do, why is this happening to me again? Then we step into the healing through relationships workshop and look at the dynamics of relationships. And then we look at what we call projection communication versus responsibility communication. In the workshop segment, communication, did you hear what I think I said? And then we move into the whole rest of it. And it's actually two different intensives that we've sewn together into a video course where there's all the question and answer, all the teaching, and just a ton of process work with real live people in real live circumstances, in which most everybody watches and they go, oh my God, that's me. And seeing as how it's me, oh, there's the I can hook to that energy, and it assists in moving me through those layers I need to move through. And ultimately, you know, our structures are not, it is not a natural thing for our physiological structures to attack our own cells. And when we clean up the energetic dynamics that create those kinds of attacks, you know, it's not a natural thing for a parent to create attack in their own family. And yet there's just so much of it that in our culture. And, mm-hmm. you know, a shadow of that could be that, you know, self attack on an immune system level. And as you work those energetic patterns through, those things will tend to disappear.
Okay. I got a little bit of work to do. I'm very thankful that you put in that, because I know it's my own self-love. I know that I'm doing this to myself. I just couldn't see where to go to figure it out. You direct me now to where I got a couple opening thoughts in my head that's going to help quite a bit.
Cool.
I think.
Cool.
Thank you.
And I'll suggest to you that every time your mind says, I need to figure this out, you stop and do a worksheet instead, because you'll never figure it out. But every time that comes up, you can forgive it. You can literally process through those energetic dynamics that are being served up by the mind. And oftentimes, you know, what the mind is serving up, here I am, I'm X number of years of age and going through my life and blah, blah, blah. And what my mind serves up isn't even mine. It's maybe three generations old. In a culture where people didn't have the tools, didn't have the support, and lived in pretty traumatic ways. And as I allow myself, you know, as I allow myself to notice where in my physiology the tensions are, you know, is a tension in my arms, my hands, my feet, my buttocks, my shoulders, where is it? Soften into it and allow the energetic dynamics that are hidden there. And there is more... How can I say this? There is more compressed into our cellular structures than we could ever begin to imagine when we start opening up and literally locked into the tissue structure is the memory and the thoughts and the traumas. The wonderful things, too, the skills, too, but the traumas of many, many, many generations. What we're working to do is to collapse into that energetic dynamic within ourselves, embrace and allow those things that, I mean, we've developed probably the most suppressive, the most drug-oriented culture the world has ever seen. I mean, you know, we see parents giving a three-year-old a cup of coffee with caffeine in it. We see them giving a little kid Coca-Cola, which has, you know, sugar, has caffeine, has phosphoric acid. You know, like, I mean, you can't even put phosphoric acid into laundry detergent anymore. You go to jail. They realize how destructive it is, but you can put it in a can and serve it to a little kid. And we're introduced to these suppressive measures just our whole lives. And so turning all that around is a major task. That's what the whole codependence intensive thing is about, is starting to look at all the aspects of that and acquiring the tools to turn that around and step into a place where, gee, if there's something traumatic going on inside of me, I take a breath. I allow myself to be vitalized rather than let me reach for a sugar caffeinated phosphoric acid drink. I take a breath. I take a glass of water and help myself be baptized by that water. Let that cleansing water move through my structure. I access this. I throw it off. And because a trauma came forward, I stepped forward to a new level of life. And every day, every minute, we can be doing that. And okay, there's always a voice in there dragging us back to the good old family feeling. And the good old family feeling is old, but it isn't usually good.
Right. And that's what's happening there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hear you. I got it. It's you know, okay, there's a principle in physics called inertia. If you remember from physics class in high school, a body moving in a particular direction at a particular rate of speed will tend to continue to move in that direction at that rate of speed until it's acted upon by an outside force. So within us are all of these dynamics, and they'll continue to keep going and reproduce the good old family feeling, the family dynamic, no matter what we do, until we become really conscious and being able to step back from your own mind, become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the actions, and become that outside force for your own inner process and change its direction rather than stuck in the groove of what's been going on for, you know, 1,000 generations in each of our bloodlines. And we're here to support you every day.
Yeah, thank you. I listen to a lot of the other shows, but I can't, like I said, I've been working usually and I haven't been able to keep up, but I still work on it. I still try to fix things, and lots of things have gotten better. I just feel like I kind of got stuck here. Today, thank you. I'm glad I checked in. What Dr. Tim was saying just previous to you kind of goes right along with this as well. So there's
fabulous. All right. Delighted. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
I appreciate you very much.
All right. Blessings.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, Miss Jeannie.
So we've got a lot of people on the switchboard today, but nobody has a hand up. Come on and press one. If
well,
you don't have a
hello.
Question, at least let us. Let us know how your Thanksgiving was, what you're thankful for.
As we were watching the, or participating in the soil course, I was telling you, Jeannie and I are doing on Monday mornings. Jeannie left early to go and pick Ari Rain up. And so one of the most appreciated experiences in my world is this little girl who's now 4, who just is such a light and such an amazing, amazing creature. Just, and recognizing that each of us started out that way. And unfortunately, because of family pressures, family patterns, that inertia-bound energy. It's interesting. A couple of years ago, we were doing a show, and a gentleman called in from Sweden. I haven't heard from Peter in a while. He needs to be on and give us a call. In any event, he called in and shared that there was a thing in Sweden that he called the Janta Law, or that was called the Janta Law. And when he called, he wasn't 100% sure, but he believed it was actually codified in law in Sweden, in the Nordic countries. And the basic idea of the Janta Law, there were a lot of details to it. We actually spent a bit of time researching it and processing it. But basically what it said to the young people of that culture was, don't get too big for your britches. Remember that you're not as good as us, whoever the us was. and never proclaim yourself that good and expect basically that things are going to go as badly as they did for your parents, and that's just the way your life is going to be. And I can remember Peter actually sharing that with us, and it's like he thought this was actually codified, written into the law of their country. Turns out it was actually a book that goes back, I don't remember the details of it now, goes back, if I remember correctly, maybe into the 40s or 50s that somebody wrote, and it was just a, you know, like a manifesto to young people of just, don't expect too much, kids, because it's not going to happen. And what we're here to share is that if we awaken and uncover the truth of who we are, the best hasn't even started yet until we uncover the truth of who we are and bring that into expression through our physiology, that we are not physical beings, that we are energetic beings, and that the core of our essence is active present love. And when we begin to act from that space of active present love, everything shifts and everything changes. Now, that means that 1,000 generations of programming in your carbon-based memory and our definition of carbon-based memory is, you know, if you asked a physiologist, if you took your body into the lab and said, here, tell me what this is made of, the base element in your so-called body is carbon. And if you look at the structure of a carbon atom, it has 6 electrons, 6 protons, 6 neutrons. You might say its number was 666. If you go back and you look at the ancient Aramaic language, you remember that there was a thing that was called the beast or the anti that went against the mind of love in you, that the mind of love in you was born and bred in you from the beginning. Now, they used a word that has been made to sound like religion, but there's nothing religious about it. But there was the mind of Christ, the mind of love in you that you're designed to function from. But then there was the mind that went against that. It was called the Antichrist. Its number was 666, and it's what's stored, I would offer, in carbon-based memory, within the memory banks of your body. And if you get down into the deepest layers of it, it's virtually indescribable. Trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of thoughts are stored, each generation adding their thoughts to this carbon-based memory system. Or removing from this carbon-based memory system what never belongs so that the whole trajectory of the bloodline can change. I love what Jonas Salk said. He said, the most important thing you can be is a good ancestor. And a good ancestor cleans up their genetics. A good ancestor goes inside themselves and removes the energetic patterns based in hostility or fear, the energetic patterns that never belonged within our structures in the first place. So we're here to present the technology and the support for literally accessing things that the culture has been running away from forever. Again, we're the most drugged culture in history. The alcohol, the sugar, the caffeine, the nicotine, the just plain empty, dead food, so-called food. These things are all mechanisms for shutting down what people don't want to look at within themselves. And what we're inviting you to do is become vital and open up everything so that you're not, you know, skipping across the top of the water, but you dive deep and you recognize where there are energetic patterns of fear or grief or rage or sadness or hatred or vengeance. You access those things. You listen internally. You develop the ability to listen with an inner ear and touch into those parts of your own energy system, and you move those parts out that way down and shut down the energy system that create things like disease, death, and suffering. If you look at the quantity of suffering that there's been in the world to date, on an inertia-bound level, man, it's going to keep rocking. Enough people rise above it. Enough people wake up and say, no, I'm going to change the undercurrent in my life. And the core tool that I'm so appreciative of is this genius piece of information called the Reality Management Worksheet that's sourced from the original Aramaic language 2,000 years ago, not something I put together, but something I was privileged to discover from the Aramaic and chose to focus my life and bring it back to the world because it was hidden so long ago that it's almost been forgotten. And what we're working to do is to reestablish it on the earth by making it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So we're glad you're here, being listening ears to take this energetic pattern and extend it out into all corners of the earth. And then to take the tools to do the individual and collective work that we're here to do. So, Miss Jeannie, it looks like we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left. So do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, Ari wants to say something.
Oh, hey, Aria.
Thanks for the presents. Thanks for the presents, Celinda.
Well, Celinda, you just got an honorable mention. Aria got here this morning, opened her gift, and she's so excited with it.
I just turned on Celinda's microphone.
Oh, thank you. I'm out here shoveling. I'm out here taking the snow off the car that we're having, so you may get it in a couple of days. And I heard little sweet Aria's voice, and
she was saying thank you for the gift.
Yes, I got that. I hope there were some trinkets in there that she really liked.
We took them and hung them straight on the tree, except for the little bitty balls. I've got to find some hooks. But otherwise, the rest of them are on the tree, and I'm going to send you a picture.
Oh, sweet. I just tell you that this Friday, for the past 17 years, our local little secondhand store has been doing what they call a Christmas connection. So all of those donations they get during the year get put away, and then at Christmas time, they come out and do this great big store event at the local Lions Hall, and they and you can get things for like a pittance, you know, and it's sort of like the greatest treasure hunt in Pine Valley. So if I find anything extra special, guarantees it will probably be winging its way in Aria's direction.
Well, she opened the box and she goes, look at all of this stuff.
Tell her it was my beloved stuff, and I'm an old granny now, only I think I'm about 3 years old, and I'm a granny of 3 years old. And that I keep saying, now, wouldn't a little girl like this? And then I think about myself as a little girl, and I say, oh, I would have loved this. So I send it to Aria.
Well, she had fun opening the box this morning. Thank you.
Yes, and I had fun listening to your show today. I'm just totally amazed at how much joy and love and acceptance and everything that I can learn, can absorb, and then start to create in my own life, because I already am that, but start to manifest it. And so I appreciate everything you said and realize how much, just what you said about the multi-dimensional contraction and compaction in the cells today is just, it's so helpful. Thank you very much. And as Tracy said, your show so often will piggyback on exactly what Dr. Tim is saying, only it's like the little twist of the kaleidoscope. you know, just a little different perspective on it. It's very, very helpful.
Perfect.
So you two
it
take
is perfect.
Care. Have a wonderful blessing on your garden and your lives and the winter season for you, and I shall check in whenever I can.
All right, young lady. You have a blessed one.
All right. Hugs to all of you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Accepted. Bye-bye. And accepted and returned.
There you go. Keep it going around.
That's the
and
plan.
We also, we were, you know, thinking, saying what you're grateful for and everything. Our dinner last night, we had a salad with the lettuces and broccoli and kale out of the garden. So the winter garden is still feeding us.
And it was awesome. We decided to harvest. We've got a covered garden, which is, you know, making its way through the winter, and then we've got one that's open, and the broccoli was growing in the open garden, and it looks like, you know, the deep freeze is coming, so we decided to harvest that, and it was just awesome, just the taste of that broccoli coming out of that beautiful fresh soil is just amazing. And we encourage everybody to, you know, whatever, you know, even if it's a pot on your front deck or, you know, a pot near a window in your living room, that you can grow, you know, any kind of seeds you want, that there's just so much, you know, in the way of lettuces, tomatoes, things that you can easily grow. And then, you know, what we've done here, we've actually got three plots now that we've opened up, not huge, you know, about 8x12 and 20x20 and 15x15, but they're just producing more and more food that, you know, I'm realizing as I let my taste buds savor it, makes what gets bought in the grocery store taste like cardboard. And it takes that kind of nutrition to really vitalize our form. So that's an important piece in the puzzle. By the way, if anybody, you know, wants to engage in the codependence to interdependence intensive, that also includes a full fresh and raw food program. You know, at Heartland, when we do an intensive, we don't do any cooking. Everything is fresh and raw. And, you know, over the years, many of you know Chef Ari, who's passed, bless his heart. But all of the years of work and recipes that he put together, our recipes book, you know, if you want to step into at least a portion of your dietary regimen being based in raw foods, some of the best tasting recipes. I mean, people come to Heartland and eat that food. I'm talking about dyed-in-the-wool cooked food, meat eaters, you know, people who maybe for years haven't tasted a fresh vegetable, and they come out of it with, oh my God, if I could eat this way all the time, I would never eat a dead flesh again. Literally, we've heard that from people who are dyed-in-the-wool meat eaters. And so part of the intensive is we have a private Facebook page, and thank you to Yurate, who is a raw food chef who put together a program that is, you know, a companion hand-in-hand with the codependence to interdependent self-study. You get that food program, so, and she's put in there, there's 14 weeks of recipes, 3 meals a day, fresh and raw, how to prepare it, what you need, what your order list looks like, when to order it in order to have it on time, what equipment you need, it's all there. And then there's also an app called Trello that you'll get a private link, all those recipes and pictures. It's just a really awesome support for at least starting to transition your diet out of the old way. And I'm thinking, Jeannie, that at some point we probably need to set that up so that that becomes a standalone product that we can share with people too. And if you're, you know, you've got somebody you want to introduce to raw food, that might be a way to do it is, you know, pick up that recipes book. It's on our website under products. And in the meantime, we're down to the last few seconds. So I'm just going to say thank you for joining us and have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Evolving continue.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.